What was your role in this most recent climate report?
Well, there were six of us who were the authors for the Southeast and the Caribbean. My role was really focusing on, particularly on the sea level rise issues, which I've worked on, but also on questions of adaptation and response.
Okay, gotcha. Well, our listener area covers Mobile, the Gulf Coast, also Pensacola, Florida. So one of the things that we saw, of course, in the past few weeks, as I'm sure you're aware, was when those recent storms went through. By some estimates, those areas received something like 2 feet of rain, possibly 21 inches to 24 inches of rain in about a day. And I know that this most recent climate report touches on torrential rain somewhat. I wonder if you could talk to me a little bit about that and what you guys found.
One of the problems with the global assessments and relating them to regional areas is with precipitation. And our area, the Southeast and the Caribbean, is kind of a marginal area in time to determine what the future holds in terms of precipitation. But the one thing that is clear is that the likelihood of intense rainstorms is going to be higher than in the past, mostly because of the simple fact you've got a warmer atmosphere, it holds more water, and it seems like some of the climate mechanisms now are moving more slowly, so those systems drop tremendous rainfall. Del Rey here in this region last January had 15 inches in 3 hours, and Pensacola got this tremendous rainfall. The scientists will tell you strictly that we can't relate that directly to climate change, but we can in a general sense. But more extreme events are a feature of the future, unfortunately.
Okay. When you guys focus on the sea level rise, is sea level rising already? And do you have a projection as far as how much it could rise in the future?
Yeah, sea level has risen, and this we measure, about 8 inches generally in our region over the last 50 to 60 years. And the current rate of rise is greater than that. The last 10 or 15 years has seen that rise increasing. The projections for the rest of this century, if you like, and we've done some studies, particularly in Florida, suggest that something like a foot of additional rise is possible between now and 2060, which is not that far off, and something between 1 and 3 feet of rise is quite possible before the end of the century. There are higher projections, but these are the conservative projections.
Those are the conservative projections? 3 feet could be conservative?
No, 3 feet is the upper end of a conservative projection.
Okay, gotcha.
1 to 3 feet is the range for the end of the century. But some folks are saying it's going to be more. And there is some evidence to suggest that it could be.
Now, this is the third National Climate Report. Is that correct?
Yes.
Were you involved on the other ones?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Well, it seems to me like we keep getting these reports that are coming out. There was the UN report very recently, and it seems like as they come out, they become more and more dire. Why is that? Is it that scientists aren't yet fully grasping the extent of the damage, or is the damage just accelerating that quickly?
I think that in relation to the sea level rise side of it, the more dire projections are clearly a result of a better understanding of the melting of the ice sheets in Antarctica and in Greenland. And we've really uncovered a lot more information about that in the last 5-10 years. I think the dire projections that relate to the general impacts of climate change, higher temperatures and so on, are partly a factor that we're not doing much about it. and that there is already increasing amount of carbon in the atmosphere, and that unless we find ways to reduce that very quickly, some of these projections are likely to be real. So I think that the increasing alarm is because another 10 years passes and we put billions more tons of carbon into the atmosphere. We're now at 400 parts per million, and that we are locking in by many projections future temperature increases and then future sea level rise and future impacts on agriculture and on people. More and more people are living in vulnerable areas, and we all like to live on the coast. As population increases, it means more people are at risk, and therefore we pay more attention.
Because this has become, well, at least in my eyes, it seems to have become a very political issue. I'm guessing that there are going to be people who will dismiss this report as politics. People will say that there is dispute over climate change. And I wonder if you think that's the case over whether climate change is man-made, the extent of it, and, you know, sort of what your authority is on the subject.
It's pretty clear to me, not from any political angle at all, but from a scientific angle, that there is a direct and proven relationship between the increase in the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, which we can show is a result of all of our activities, and the changes in temperature and other climate factors that we're experiencing. There's always natural fluctuation as well, and so it isn't a simple one-on-one relationship. But 90-plus percent of scientists will agree with me on this issue. Somebody reviewed thousands of papers and found less than 1% were making an argument that this was not man-related. The fact that it's become political is unfortunate, very unfortunate, and I'm not going to speculate on it, but when a major politician 10 years ago said this was his passion and his belief, then I think the other side said, okay, if it's yours, then it can't be ours. And really, this isn't a political issue. And most countries in the world recognize and deal with it, don't treat it as a political issue. In Britain, in France, in Germany, it is not an issue that is split across politics. And it's unfortunate in some part of this country it is.
What do you think the drawbacks are? Like when we talk about the storms in Alabama just recently, of course, you always sort of have to preface it with you cannot really make a direct link between climate change and this one weather pattern. But you mentioned sort of the trend as far as how things are going. And what are you seeing? I mean, are extreme weather events becoming more likely, or are they likely to become more likely? Are we already seeing it?
We are already seeing it. There's some analysis that I've seen of rainfall intensity. The one bit I remembered doesn't relate to our area, but in the New England states, there is an 80% increase in intense storms over the last 15, 20 years. In our area, there's something like a 10% increase in intense storms over that same time period. So we are seeing patterns that begin to make sense.
How long have you been involved in studying, I guess, sea level rise, is it?
Yes. Oh, in one form or other for 40 years.
40 years, wow.
Yeah, I'm not a young chicken.
And were you approached for your input on in this study, or did you sort of like come to them, or how does that work?
No, they approached me. I was involved with a number of meetings down here in Florida about the impacts of sea level rise, and so I was asked to join the team.
Okay, gotcha. What do you think if you were to sort of encapsulate this study as a whole, what would you think sort of the takeaway message from the study would be?
I think one of the most important things is that the study was done and that it takes things that are often vague at a global level and brings it down to Southeast and the Caribbean, to the West. It brings it down into areas and topics and characteristics that people can understand. So I think the take home is that it takes broad issues and brings them down into a context which people can relate to. And whether that's drought in the West or sea level rise along the eastern coast or changes in our agricultural patterns, if you look at this report, there will be facts and figures and illustration that people relate to.
You mentioned that we need to cut our carbon emissions pretty drastically if we are going to, I guess, avoid the worst of results of climate change. How do we do that?
Well, we're already doing it. We're increasing the mileage on our vehicle fleets, and we've done really well on that. We've got regulation coming out of EPA that looks at coal plants and tries to reduce the emissions from coal-fired plants, which are one of our worst. We're moving more to natural gas from coal. That's all beneficial. We're being more energy efficient. Where we haven't got far enough is moving to wind, solar, and other forms of energy that are not carbon-producing, even nuclear, though obviously there are some downsides to that. So it's really looking at the way in which we use energy, making it more efficient, reducing the carbon imprint of our energy use. And we've begun to do that, but it needs to be more, and the rest of the world needs to do it too.